the means of copying text was entirely hand-based. So we have a group of Christ scribes that sit down to copy text and strenuously write out volumes of book to reproduce things as the Bible and messages and teachings. And so because of the slowness of that process, it sort of made it difficult for the Word of God to go out as it ought to. And then came the invention of the printing press. It's worthy of note that historically, the first book that was printed with the invention remains the Bible. And the printing press was one of the major pillars that moved the Reformation, that the Reformation moved, because we could have more productions of the Word of God at faster and a greater level of efficiency. So God anticipates technology. The man that took the prayers mentioned that God said to his servant, Bishop David Oyedepo, that you will stand in one place some time to come in the future and the whole world will see you. Back then, the evolution of broadcasting was very minute. As a matter of fact, it was used by military people for research and big government organizations of developed countries. So the idea that it would become a common technology, that the church could use it and people would be gathered together in one place, was a far cry. It was not even seen within the environment. But then what happened? God happened. And technology evolved. And now we could have one meeting in one place and many people joining us together. Hallelujah. So why am I saying that? Is to point to us that, because you are here, it doesn't mean, well, it could be better. Nothing changes. You see, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there. It doesn't say if they are gathered, it doesn't explicitly underlines the method of gathering, because we can be gathered and not be together. Togetherness is of the heart, right? And so a group of people can be gathered and they are not together. What will be of importance and relevance is how your heart joins here tonight. And I'm letting you know that great, unbelievable, and marvelous things are set. Kaleko shikelebara namasheko to ribata labare koshkendra lababasketra lababosh. In lebrete means sekete lebrata katoba shekete lebredegedia. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to lead us through a process of alignment, spirit alignment. What we're going to expect us to do within this episode of this meeting is to shut out distractions. It doesn't matter where you are. Even if you are in a quiet place, if your mind is distracted, you will experience distraction. Distraction focus is primarily internal. It's not what is external, right? That's why I see there's a place called the eye of the storm. The eye of the storm is calm. If you are in the eye of the storm, it will be turbulent around the storm. But right in the eye of the storm, it is calm. So if it can be calm somewhere in the midst of the storm, it doesn't matter the environment you are. Focus is an internal, it's an internal arrangement that needs to be sustained, right? There's a level of focus you can attain to, you will not be aware of the distraction without. So I'm going to lead us through a process that is geared to attain and to achieve alignment inside of us. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. So I want you to lift up your hands wherever you are. Just lift up your right hands and begin to pray in the spirit as he's giving you utterance. Just begin to pray. Just begin to pray. Just begin to pray. Kutalariash, Nembra Harakesh, Elvates Miria, Tulubre Kendesa, Vertekilato, Rendes Kinda Balaniaske, Elva Kush Kendili Brotosh, Kendereta Misko, Prel Tapates Tumbre Hokush Nepranaha, Lel Ferretes Kidralos, Elborates Kindra Lakosh, Zintarate Kush Ketelebrene, Vavilendes Kapuria de Prailas, Keep praying. Keep that heart praying. Lemburata kashkende leprenemes kumbrates kibraha. Levri tansese bronch. Lepekindo loporotos kindra labakas kebradada. Keep that heart praying. Mande borotoske lebranada. Sekende lebreketus nebremelekinzo predebeyabosh. Incurates ke pronianda prades ke deliade, rashkendra la bonchendra le becuse zebranadiaha, ecufelembus indra la pusiene preladia. Keep that heart praying, mesuse predegele begedia, ferutege predegedia gabala casque prededodia. Thank you. Keep that heart aligned. Keep that heart aligned. Urona masia relefeke zipranadosh kindala pranakazio. Keep that heart aligned. Thank you, mighty God, in the name of Jesus. Now you are going to use the words of your mouth to confess, Father, I make the shift. I achieve the alignment. I make the shift by my heart with the operation of your spirit and your grace within me. I achieve alignment. I make alignment. 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 Now begin to decree. I connect with the spirit at work tonight. I connect with the spirit of grace at work tonight. I connect with the impartation that we are called tonight. I connect with the operation of your wisdom tonight. I connect with the flow of your power tonight. I connect with the spirit of grace. I make an alignment tonight. I make a connect tonight. I achieve the connection. I enter into the gates tonight. In the name of Jesus, go ahead, pray. Make the shift. Make the alignment. Rotekesi kalabarates kebeletekesio, rande belekeski pranda la babaski dolobrogodosia, integilas, nefekidos, bantekizo, rel kabana, bereketosia, veretekezio, buntekitazie, evekunde remeskida baraniako, ovia dekesunde leti valide votia, valge kozizezo, Burteke gigago, isketemila da purene, maski fecunde patikezeha, ve de vila tive kuzia, vevu kishiko ke vele di magia, berke kusira, rele koko kuzike tia barata, ivalere demboske de la pratagazia. Go ahead, pray. Go ahead, pray. Mata poro no moshke de lebrede gete ke lebrede gadia. Ye de bele nosh, metele bedonsh, ke bele de gadin, bolo do godon de rete gadin. El vari kun sepre nindon bonte lina manskin do rula, arve ki laburono moshke le burada, ize kinde rependol burata nin ke sumbra nin, mar rababa sile rete kede. Ivo kushanda na rete kusia. Father, we give you praise. Eyata prushendaraya kalebo kalebadie damakasie ovna e kapaladie se. Glory to God. Once again, we welcome as many of us that are here tonight. Is something else for you. I want to welcome every one of us to the assembly. Some of us may be, this is going to be our first time in an assembly. And for some of us, we literally leave assemblies to assemblies, right? But what really is the assembly? What is the assembly? Why is it captioned the assembly? The assemblies are a series of gatherings that began precisely in the year of 2016. Amazingly, that should be about 8 years ago. No, it should be more than that. Yeah, exactly 8 years ago. And it began as a birthing in the spirit to call gatherings, particularly that occasion, environments for divine plans and justices to be unveiled corporately. And so, by the nature of the meetings, assemblies are gatherings that only happen according to divine seasons and timings. Like I used to say to many persons who wish that they would be having assemblies all of the time, but if we start having assemblies every other day, it won't be an assembly again, it will just be a meeting. It becomes an assembly because you are not even aware, you are not even planning it, and all of a sudden you just realize that there is a gathering already, and that the earth should be called for a convergence, a uniformity of gathering, right? And so the first assembly happened in 2016, and it was titled Understanding Priesthood. Within the year of 2016 and over time, part of the word that was being emphasized over and over again, and still it is relevant for our time, is the necessity of understanding divine and spiritual priesthood. Because most of the times people think, okay, the priesthood thing had to do with the old covenant. But that can't be proved through scriptures, because even the New Testament, the scriptures refers to us as priests. He said he has made us kings and priests. So the world he has made means it's something you were not before. But all of a sudden, by a divine arrangement, you became. So he has made us priests, right? And he said you are a royal priesthood. So if we have been made to be something, that means we have taken up a function. There are mysteries to that function. And basically, I remember we outlined the priests, and in just one day, it was powerful meetings by God. And in those arenas, we saw signs that we've not seen before by God's grace. And then came the assembly of 2017, the emergence of heavenly princes. It was hinged on the revelation of the year and the revelation of the season and of the age, right? And we have a whole lot of them. I think in 2017, again, we had the power of his resurrection in June. And then we had the next assembly in 2018 that was masqueraded in form of a retreat, right? And 2019. We've had the previous assembly before last year, building systems of glory. The gist is, or the upshot is, that they are strategic meetings called for strategic times. And if you would take any meeting lightly, if at all you can, not the assemblies, because they are strategically and intentionally calculated. They begin from heaven, right? And that's why at times you can see the notice is so short, because you are not even aware, and then all of a sudden you are made aware. And you're like, oh my God, we need to hurry up. Hallelujah. But you are here tonight, knowing this, that this gathering tonight is not an arrangement of man, nor a design of man, or a man planning a thing, or a man imagining a thing, but that it pleased heaven to call forth a gathering. It pleased heaven to call forth an assembly. It should instruct our hearts to take it seriously. It should instruct our heart not to take lightly, because this is not of man. And one thing about anyone who has worked with heaven before knows that they are dang serious about anything. And if they say make it like this, there's a purpose and a reason for it. All of this is to admonish someone, to instruct someone, and to counsel someone that you may very well just be at the corridors of where the revelation of destiny will come to you. And yes, it will come to you. Father, we give you praise. I want you to make a prayer one moment and say, Lord, open my eyes to see. Pray again. Lord, open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see. Oh Lord, open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see. Lord, I make demands. Open my eyes to see. 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 In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Like we began to say, for those of us that read from the post that was put up on that platforms, we had a series of meetings, a farewell meeting, if you would want it, in 2019. And that meeting was titled The Seven Gifts of the Spirit Ascent. Our objective throughout that meeting, because we trusted God to give a farewell program, and graciously it was decreed and assembled. The purpose of that meeting was to practically teach and demonstrate the procedure and the equipping necessary to tangibly walk in the manifestation and reality of divine activity, to walk in the reality and the original full-time function of the Spirit, and to grow in levels of it. And they were hinged into seven gateways, and that is why we called it the seven gates of the Spirit. The seven gates of the Spirit, and captioned totally as ascent, because based, if we look at the order of creation, the supernatural is always above the natural, which is why you realize that from the ancient days, that activities of spiritual significance, the people of the old made a prophetic action to literally climb mountains. And so you see that God asked Moses, come to the mountain and I'll speak to you. Moses took the covenant from the mountain. Elijah was a man of the mountains. And then the prophets go to pray in the mountain. The wisdom behind is that by implication, they understood that the supernatural is always above the natural. And for any individual to make contact with that realm, there has to be sort of an elevation, a shift. That's why the natural is always downwards, the supernatural is always upwards. It's a matter of order. Hallelujah. Now, that is beautifully highlighted in Jacob's vision. In the book of Genesis chapter 28, Jacob was caught up in a vision, and then he saw that a ladder was set from the earth into heaven. And then you will notice he said that the angels were ascending and descending on the mountain. There was on the ladder, there was a traffic. What it shows to us that the vision captures a structure for us, that the order of corporate reality. When I say corporate reality, I use it to illustrate the combination of things unseen and seen. Or so when I say combined reality, the structure of combined reality is that it follows a class. There's a superimposition and there's an order such that one is always above the other. And that's why you see the worship of God always says, be exalted above all the earth. It's a worship and a praise. It acknowledges the preeminence and the sovereignty and the authority of God to be over the earth based on divine ordination and the structure in which reality was created. You notice the word structure begins to crop up so often because we are in those, based on what we are working with, we desired to show it concrete, to show these realms concrete, so that an individual is not taught to think that when you talk the supernatural, it is just a cloud somewhere. When Jesus resurrected, he went to heaven, he came back and ate fish. It's a question mark for our ordinary logic. He said, touch me. A spirit does not have bone and flesh. A spirit does not have bone and flesh. Touch me. So Jesus was saying that, well, I'm not a spirit. What he meant by that is, I'm not a disembodied personality I'm not like the angels. I'm just a resurrected and a glorified individual. But nevertheless, I can go into heaven and come back and still eat fish with you. So he said, there's a scripture that said, handle me. Handle me. There's a translation that says, when Thomas doubted, he said, handle me. Right? And that's why you see John said that the things that we have handled, when you talk about handling, there are things you touch. You make concrete impact, concrete interaction with, because they are real. Nevertheless, there are pathways, which is why the meeting was captioned Seven Gates. That is, the objective and the purpose was to practically show seven pathways through which, or gateways through which, you can follow to begin to interact with divine realities. Right? And it was shown indeed. I remember the first day we talked about the ascent and the aula and the songs of the ascent, which was why there were all of that period of the ascent. And then we talked about the gates. Now, we shared with them six gates. And because the meeting happened for a period of 3 days, the gates were divided 3 and then 4. But the glory chaos of the meeting was something else. Such that the second day it hit a chaos. When I mean chaos, glory chaos. And glory chaos is an invasion of glory that man cannot organize. He can't manage it. He can't say, all right, glory to God, let's come back. No, it becomes a glorious chaos. You can't even, so you just leave it and you yield. And so the third day was even more chaotic. Some men in that meeting were here. I think somebody was telling us yesterday that after the meeting, he felt invincible. According to his testimony, that while he was walking home, somebody saw him and ran into the bush. We don't know what the individual saw. But when he left the meeting and the person saw him, the person ran into the bush. But we can't say what they saw. Or maybe they saw a human being glowing. Maybe they thought they had seen a spirit. Right? Glory. But after a period of sharing 6 of those gates on that final day, we couldn't even conclude. The chaos came again and it was glory chaotic. And then we said to them, well, we can't see the seventh gate again. For some reasons, we sense we should conceal it. And well, some of them were not happy. They wanted to complete it. But if we had shared it, they would have been overfed. Because after the meeting, somebody walked up to me and said, I'm full of knowledge. By that, they meant wisdom. Right? Now, that gate has been like that. 6 gates. And no, the seventh was never set, right? And some persons have gone on their voyage to find it. And some persons have called me and said, I think I know it now. Right? But something amazing happened. While we were just around, then that word came again for a gathering. Okay, we never had any idea or agenda of that. And then it came. And then, okay, all right. What's this? Is it just a gathering, strategic meeting that we hold regularly? Okay, and then we saw it was an assembly. So, okay, what's the theme? And then we found out that it talked about the gate of wisdom. It was when we are now plotting the date, we said, okay, it will fall on. And then we found the 12th. And I said, hold on. Because of some of the things that pathways we have brought through, we kind of take note of this. And literally, we can bring out a year and itemize the months and just tell you things that happened from the start of it. So when I saw 12th, I flashed back into the year 2019. And then I saw 12th was a Friday. I discovered 12th was another Friday. And then I looked through it, I saw it was the same. And then it occurred to me that 2024 and 2019 were sharing the same calendar. That is, if you don't have a 2024 calendar, you can carry your calendar from 2019 and bring it, and you'll be working. And then it's happening exactly the same period, the same date, the same timing, around the same timing, though we started at 6 p.m., but the main is the prayer occurs for 1 hour. So you pray from 6 to 7 before we enter into the realms of worship and praise and thanks, praise and all that. They realize, oh my God. And then it's now clear that actually it's an alignment, it's an alignment that is proceeding. I'm being built upon a foundation that has been built. What does that mean? Somebody says being built upon a foundation that has been built. Is that not a repetitive word or a tautology like they call it in English? No. When you are building a story building, when you build the first this ground floor, you deck it. That ground floor, though, is the roof of the first, the ground zero, but it becomes a foundation for the first floor. The roof or the top of the foundation, the top of the first floor becomes a foundation for the second. So that's like building on what has been built. And that's one stop to say that where you are, you are saying, okay, this is the apex of my life. It's actually a foundation for what God is said to do. And you know the foundation is hidden. That means where you are and the height you are now, there's another place that is so glorious that place doesn't even take note of it. And all of that. Glory to God. So, after about 5 years, the cycle has cycled again and it has locked again into another alignment. And then we are here converged to tap into a realm. But this time with greater precision, greater insight, greater grace, and greater glory from God. Because the path of the justified progresses in light. Hallelujah. So having said all of this, is more like a backdrop and a recap to some things that some of us were not available 5 years ago, right? Jesus is Lord. Kupandala barabakash ketele predekedich. Lekondere bekesh kuntala barabakash kotele baratakash ketele predekediabosh. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Father, we thank you. Mashetele predekedios. Father, we give you praise. Hallelujah. In 2020, we were growing in periods and in stages of divine revelation, and we were seeking to understand the purpose that God has designed for our day. You know, one of the most significant things that can happen to an individual is that they seek not only their own or theirs, but they seek God and try to understand what he is doing. Listen, your relevance is not an isolated package. Your relevance is a dependent design that is fit into what God has been doing. If you are not able to trace your operation and trace your function down into scriptures, then there must just be a disjoint, because God is not starting from a fresh zero ground zero work. He's building on processes and designs and agenda that he has started even right from the days of the patriarch. This is what the scripture teaches, and that's why the scripture is a progressive revelation. The scripture is a progressive revelation from Abe, from Noah, and from the covenant of Noah down to Abraham, and you can see a progressive revelation in each successive generation, such that you can identify the difference in the day of Abraham and find the operation of God in Isaac, find it in Jacob, and then Israel, the 12 tribes, find it in Moses, in Joshua, and how we progress through scripture to the book of the Kings, and even till we find the apostles. The apostles preached from the scripture. What the prophet spoke was what the apostles used to present to the people of their day the purpose and the whole counsel of God. So we were able to get the wind of that understanding and of that insight early on, to know that if we are really going to make a mark in our own day, we must find what God is doing, has done, is doing, wants to do, and find our place and function, if by grace, and then understand it, developing it, and do it well. Why it was theologians that say that success is finding out what God is doing and then doing it with him. What the upshot is that if you want to succeed, it's hinged on you finding out what God is doing and you also doing it with him. That was our objective. That was our pursuit. And throughout the years, and even from before then, we began to seek in this direction. And anyone who would have heard us speak in those days will realize that we always speak in such a way that goes beyond our immediate environment and that goes beyond ourselves as individuals. Why? Because we're trying to bring people to understand that, hey, look, this is not about you. There's something that God has been doing, and He is getting into the stream to continue a function, or to begin a function that is a complementation of something somebody else has done somewhere, or has done in the past. Jesus says to His disciples that you have entered into the labors of other men, that people have sown, and then you just jumped into their labor. That is one of our pursuits and patterns. And so that's why that pursuit and that laying on of the hand of God upon our lives brought us into mysteries of generations and understanding of insight to the level to which God has granted us grace to understand and to see, even as He will even furthermore solidify. Right? Praise the Lord. When we seek God at every juncture and at every turning of the new season, hardly do we even seek personally for your own selfish reason for what He said. We seek holistically for what you are said to do, and how do we play along with this? Praise the Lord. And this brought us into certain mysteries and insights. Some remain concealed, and some will be shared with time, and some are now set to be revealed. Hallelujah. The era of the Logos. The era of the Logos. Well, what does that mean? Mind you, the seventh gate of the Spirit is the gate of true illumination. Genuine illumination and enlightenment. When a man finds the gate that swings open light, he naturally begins to proceed into the Spirit. Let's look at what David said in the Bible, in the book of Psalms. Hallelujah. Is somebody excited now? Let's look at the scriptures. Let's go to the book of Psalms. I'm going to pull out the scripture from the book of Psalms for us. Sorry, I'm using my electronic Bible here. Psalm 43 said, look at this, Psalm 43 verse 3. He said, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Lead me where? Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. The light of God has the capacity to lead a man into the tabernacle of God. And mind you, if you remember from Ascent, we explain to us that the structure of the city of Jerusalem is designed to resemble and to replicate the structure of the kingdom in heaven. Which is why, you see, let's not open those gates now. But if you read through the prophecy of the book of Hebrews revealing sacred things, you can always find the parallel between that tabernacle and the tabernacle of Moses and the operations of the priesthood of Aaron. Because it was built to replicate. The gates of wisdom brings out this light. Wisdom is transmitted as light. Wisdom is what we find when we see light operate. Wisdom is what we discover when light begins to operate. Listen, it then means that Where light does not operate and information guides, we can't say there is wisdom. Wisdom operates through the vehicle of light. So you see the interlink that there is wisdom and it exudes as light. The manifestation of the gift of wisdom principally is light, right? Which is why you see the last gate is sort of hinged together with light, wisdom. It's the gate of true illumination. We call it true illumination because Jesus said, take heed that the light that is in you is not darkness. Take heed that the light that you have in you is not darkness. And furthermore, there is the negative illumination and what we call the darkened enlightenment. That's what I was pointing out. He said there's a light you can have inside of you, but there will be darkness. That is why it's called genuine and true revelation. Hallelujah. All right. So I'm telling you because we have passed through the gates. You know, it's a structure. We have passed through the gates, entered through wisdom. Now, what is going to flood on you now is the light of wisdom. What, listen, this is the structure of the gate. It's called the gates of wisdom. It exudes light. It exudes light. You can call it the gate of light. When it operates, it's wisdom. And you can call it the gate of wisdom. But when it functions, it requires the operation of light to power it. It's like wave-particle duality. A phenomenon in physics. Wave-particle duality. So we have passed into the gates. We have proceeded through the gates. What we find is light. And now the experience of light we distill. I know that some of us will think light is just a flash. Let me tell you, light is a particle. Light is substance. We don't know that. But light is substance. If there's anybody who has done a major of science, they will know that light is a substance. It's a particle. That light proceeding from your phone, they are tiny particles. So light is substance. It's matter. It has weight. It occupies a space. You may not see it with your physical eyes, the sense, the particles, but really, light is substance. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We are talking about the season of the Logos. Someone is like, what in this universe is this man talking about? The season of the Logos. Please, if your hand is being raised it's by accident, you can undo it so that we are not thinking that you have an observation. All right, Joseph, I can see your hand. If it's by accident, you can undo that. Father, will give you praise. I'll let the admin reach out to him. I know that we have, for many of us, have grown here in doctrines and in the Word of God. We have come across the distinction between somebody's like, okay, we have not talked about the gates. We are inside the gate already. We are past. I'll tell you one, two other things much later at the end. But let's move this way. When you have grown at least to a measure and spent some time within the Christian, you might have heard the distinction, and everyone here would have heard the Logos. And then would have also heard of what is referred to as the Rhema. And people are more a fan of the Rhema. The Rhema, the Logos. No, I'm more of the Rhema. Where's the Rhema? Give us the Rhema. But that kind of imbalanced approach to divine truth and revelation creates an inefficiency in our understanding. It creates what, if I can use an aberration, sorry, not trying to use big words, but I find no better way to describe it at the present time, in our approach, in our thinking, and our logic. Praise the Lord. That is because there is more to it. The basic understanding that we have says, we are in the season of the Logos. The season of the Logos. That's what, the basic understanding that we have says, well, the Logos is the word that is written. And the Rhema is the word that is revealed. And the Rhema is the one that gives, you know, and all gives life is the revealed word. The Logos is the written word. You have underestimated it. Now listen. Let's do a little just language, study language. Of course, everybody knows, almost everyone should know that the Bible that we have in English is not, the original text is not in English, right? Okay. And the Bible is separated into two categories or two books. On one hand, we have the Old Testament, and on the other hand, we have the New Testament, right? The Old Testament was written by the Jews, mostly Jewish folks. I mean, which are Jewish folks, and the Jews spoke Hebrew, and a portion of them spoke an ancient language that is almost similar to Hebrew, and they call it Aramaic, right? Aramaic. As a matter of fact, it's reported that Jesus also spoke Aramaic while he was on earth. So, the books of the Old Testament are written in Hebrew. Some portions of it are written in Aramaic, like the book of Daniel. The people in the New Testament were Jews that had been overwhelmed by the Romans, and the Romans had taken over from the Greek people, Greece, the Macedonians, right? And the Greek had a lot of influence in the civilization of that day. So there were people that were born Jews that didn't even speak Hebrew. They were called the Hellenist Jews or the Greek-speaking Jews. So because of that, most of the books of the Bible were written in the New Testament. I beg your pardon, were written in Greek. Even though they were Jewish men. Now, we find that the apostles were at the same time learning from Hebrew scriptures but writing in Greek. And when it came to the matter of the word, the Hebrew people referred to a word as daba. Daba means to speak. It means a speech, a body of writing, an utterance, is speaking. But it was not the same when it boiled down to the Greek. Because people who have done a translation work before knows how difficult it is to find what is called an equivalent translation. Equivalent translation, that is something that is entirely equal. Like if this is water here and this language is called water, it's not like you look for two words or so to try to capture it. That is why they call it dynamic equivalence. That is seeking a nearest meaning through skillful combination of the target language. Somebody say, why all this? It's background. So in the Hebrew scriptures, speech, talk, the word, the written word, the spoken word, were mostly used, referred to as daba. But when we came to the Greek language was too rich. Just too rich. Different flavors of word to capture different kinds of essence. In the English language, if a man tells a lady, I love you, the woman lady will be tempted to ask him, what do you mean love? But if like somebody tells you in Greek that he loves you, you really need to ask, because the word love has several ways or different words to describe what is meant. So we have the agape, this philos, and the other one, right? Some of us already know that, so no need calling it. And so when somebody tells you agape, you know it's brotherly love, right? And when they say philos, you know what they mean. But in the English language, when somebody has been around for a while and they tell you I love you, you don't even want to assume it. So you have to say, come back, what do you mean? Why? The language is poor. The English language is poor in vocabulary, but not like the ancient languages. So when it comes to the matter of word, they had more than one way to put it. And so that was the stream that these two ways flowed through. One, the Rhema, one, the Logos. Now, of course, the Rhema referred to a speech, a spoken word, a word that is spoken. And within the Christian faith, we use it to refer to a word spoken out of scripture that is direct to you. It is used to describe an encounter with the living word. Right? Such that if I read through the books of the Bible and I find a place where it says, and the Lord said to him, make this valley full of this. And then out of a sudden, the word becomes living at that moment of encounter. And then the speech, it becomes a direct speech. It's no longer a written text. It comes to me directly as though it spoke. That's a Rhema experience. That what it means is that the written word, or what you have read or reading, the potency of that word has left the level of being a written word. The living word has spoken. It's an experience that validates the truth that the word of God is alive. And it takes the operation of the living word to come into the avenue of the Rhema. Right? That is what is called the Rhema word. It is an experience that occurs at the place of the operation of the word that lives. Somebody say that experience is beyond the written words. It is testifying to the fact that behind a written word, there is a living being. And that being himself is the person of the word. But how about the Logos? The Logos is super. Somebody, what does that mean? The Logos encompasses both the Rhema and itself. What that means is every Rhema is part of the Logos. The Logos itself may not be a Rhema. It means that you can't to find the Rhema, you must examine the Logos. But within the Rhema, you may not find the entirety of the Logos. Which puts as though the Logos keeps the Rhema. My God. Oh, did you see that? As though the Logos conceals the Rhema this way. And then when at the place of studying and encounter, you meet the person of, and then it opens up, and then you see. That is, the Logos refers to every system of God's word, spoken, written, dictated, revealed. The Rhema refers to the word that has been spoken. Many times it's an offshoot of the Logos. So how do we know how powerful the Logos is? We find it in John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Logos. In the beginning was the Logos. It's not Rema, it's Logos. Oh my God. And the Logos was God. He was with God and he was God. Without him, the Logos was not anything made that was made. In the system of the Logos was light. The light inside the Logos shined through darkness, and the darkness departed. And that same Logos was made flesh. When John wrote those scriptures, he penned down the word Logos, because John was the individual that had deep insight into the Logos. When he wrote those scriptures, he penned, "In the beginning was the Logos." It means the Logos is eternal. Well, if that doesn't interest you, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 decrees, "The Logos is alive and powerful." God, you didn't see that. Every word of God is quick. The word quick means alive and powerful. It's not, he said, "The Logos is alive." The Logos is alive and powerful. My God. And then what does it say? Revelations chapter 19, verse 13. "And then I saw heaven opened and one descending out of heaven." Do you know these scriptures, or we have to read them? Let's read the Revelation. Revelation chapter 19 and in verse 13. Father, we give you praise. Revelations 19 verse 13. Okay, let's start from verse 12. He said, "Then I saw heaven opened and a white horse, and one standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns." You know that. And he said he wore a robe, and his title was the Word of God. Okay. His name. Look at what the Bible says in verse 12. He said, "A name was given to him that no one else knew." That he carried a name, an identity that nobody knew what the name was. But the Bible was quick to add to us a measure of insight that, though that name may be concealed, we have an information that his name is called, the Logos of Theos. His name is called the Word of God. So, how dare we? The testing of the Lord is identified as the Logos. When they say Jesus is the Word of God, they say to you, he's the Logos of God. I want to show us something through the book of 1 John, chapter 5. Let's go to 1 John. Chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "For there are three that bear witness in heaven." Three of them that bear witness in heaven. And then he goes for that to call them. He says, "There is the Father." And then what he says next, he says, "The Logos." And then he calls the Spirit. That's the Son of God that John the Beloved is referring to as the Logos. That's the Son of God. "In the beginning was the Logos." We have seen the experiences of the Rema. But watch, wait. They say the Logos was in the beginning. We have seen the power of the Rhema also. But they say, wait, they say the Logos is alive. Some of you think it's dead. But he said, wait, every Logos is alive. As if that was not enough, he said, I am powerful. He said, it pierces through even into the dividing asunder of both the bones and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Logos of God. What does this bring us to? It brings us to a renewed perspective that the understanding of these two dispositions of the experience of the child of God at the place of the world. That the Rhema is the living word of God. I mean, the man of God wanted to go to relocate to two places, and he was having a thought about it, and he was wondering what was the will of God. And his prayers were, Lord, should I go this way? And he opened the word of God, and he saw a scripture that said, arise, get down to Damascus. That instance, the word was speaking to him, get to where you want to go to. It is my will. That's the Rhema. It's from the Bible. It's from the scripture, the entirety of the scripture. That's the Logos. Yeah. But from that Logos, the living word, the fact that the Rhema can come from the Logos shows to you that the Logos is alive. Like Hebrew said, that the Logos is quick, is living, and is powerful. Listen, for life to come forth, it has to come from life. And if life has to come from death, there has to be an operation of life. They said, even though Christ died, the scripture referred show to us that it was his father that raised him up, whom God raised up on the third day. He said the spirit that was in Christ is in you. So it refers to the power and the spirit of resurrection quickening him. And of course, the spirit is the spirit of life. Life gives birth to life. Death cannot proceed out of life, cannot proceed from death, unless there is an activity around it that gives it life. The fact that the living world can come out of the Logos shows you that the Logos is alive. But wait, I want to tell you something. The Rhema really is just a Logos that has been articulated to you. Listen, I know we know the color red. And let me explain something to us. I find out that some shades of colors that we have in English, listen to what I'm saying, some shades of colors that we have in English don't exist in other languages. I think one of them is purple or so. The reason why some of those colors take on a distinct identity is the fact that we looked for new words to call those shades of this color. And the law of it suddenly becomes a color. How many of you know that the color pink is actually red that is faint? You can call it light red. Anybody that does work with graphics or UI, we know that once you begin to reduce the opacity of the red color, it turns into pink. So, but when we see that corridor, we cut it off from the source. Cut it off from the source and say, well, this is a new wavelength. And so let's call it pink. And of course, that is what has happened with the Logos. And it's good so that we can, because if I tell you light pink, since there are a lot of shades and variations, it may be difficult for us to achieve it. So we try to just isolate it with a word and capture it. So that when I say pink, you know the shape I'm talking about. So of course we have to isolate distinct experience that proceeds out of God's logos so that it can be identified and known during the experience. And so we find it, I said, this experience is rhema word, but it comes from the overall system of the speakers of God. Logos keeps the rhema like this. It opens it up for you into access. The logos is living and is sharper than a double-edged sword. The logos. You say, but it's the rhema that even the rhema is the child of the logos. Why is it so? Because the logos is living and powerful. Peter, can we hear me tonight? Listen, he says, in the beginning was the Logos. When you find the entity that was from the beginning, it didn't say in the beginning was is the Lord. He talked about the beginning and used a was. He used was, showing you that this one was before the beginning. In the beginning was the Logos. Right? It points you out. The entity that was from the time of the beginning should make you fear. Tonight, this is an annunciation, a decree. We have entered into an era of divine logos. And it's like, what's he saying? I trust that God will give us more things, utterance, and give us as liberty to say some things with you. But this is a manifestation of something so deep. Pay attention. Having crossed through the gates, wisdom is speaking to you now, because wisdom is wisdom is justified by her works. That is, wisdom is a doing thing, a verb. It's all the era of the logos. Go ahead, give him praise. Thank you. A renewed understanding now is necessary. In the beginning, there existed the logos. So now you have to go back again and find out who and what really is the logos. Because you say, no, not the logos, I don't care. They say that the letter killeth, the spirit giveth life. The word they used as letter is not logos, it's grammar. It's graphic. It talks about the ink. The one that is written is just a matter of the inscription. What are they written down? It's not the logos. It's not the logos that was used. It's the grammar. The Greek word here is called grammar. So you say that one kills, because if Paul would have said the logos kills because it doesn't have life, it would have contradicted what he had written in Hebrews when he said that the logos is alive and powerful. So I want you to see a concentric system within itself, such that here is the rhema, is found within the logos. My God, there is more to say. This is an annunciation, a clearing of the deck, so that you can begin to penetrate. So that you can penetrate. Every word of God is powerful. Every logos of God, in the beginning, he existed, the logos. Okay. Oh, no. In the beginning, he existed, the logos. In the beginning, he existed, the logos. In the beginning, he existed, the logos. in the beginning, he existed. Go ahead, give him praise. Thank him. Because he's God and he's not like him. Father, we give you praise. Go ahead, Peter. Let us pray. Go ahead, 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 pray. We can't hear you. Go ahead, pray. Every word of God is alive and powerful. Every word of God is alive and it is powerful. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, my in Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. Tonight is a new season. Diverse things are said to happen. Listen. When we set forth into this season, to the year, the bulk of the revelation, that is the word. When people say, I got the word for the year, this is the centrality of it. The logos of God. Yeah. I'm saying it's in July. And because we're not asked to okay, January. We didn't say anything in January. February, we didn't say anything. March, we gather for a convergence, talk to you about hope, the word of hope, and then direction, and then vision, God's strategic means of it. We didn't say anything again. But this is the entirety of the word. The logos of God. 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 That's the word. And it comes with, my God, depths of operations. It trusts that God will usher you into these depths this weekend. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we give you praise. Father, we thank you. God, I give you praise and thank him because of what he said to do and what he has done. We give you
Father, we bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
We glorify you. In Jesus' precious name, we are prayed.
Amen.
The air is set. The deck has been cleared. The era is set. The deck has been cleared. For great and mighty things that you will now be given access to. This is more like that day when we talked about the ascent. And then the first day was just ascent. Then the following day we began to proceed in through the gates. The deck has just been cleared from you. Henceforth, commencing from tomorrow, you will wonder at the revelation of God. You will wonder the revelation of God. And your heart will wonder at the gifts that he has given to men. You see, all that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. His children, now this time, you will praise God because of his wonderful works. To the children of men, to you. Praise the Lord. Clear the deck. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So, Peter, have we seen? Do you now appreciate the logos?
Yes.
Do you see now that he's in the beginning?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Do you find now that the logos is God? Do you see that?
Sir. Yeah.
Do you see that it was the light of the Logos that defeated the darkness?
Yes, sir.
Do you see that because the Logos is quick, is alive, the Logos could be made flesh and live amongst men? Because from the beginning he was alive.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Do you now see that The Logos is alive and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword. That is, it is so swift and efficient. Swift and efficient. Now, do you realize that the three bear witness in heaven, the Father, the next identity is the Logos himself. The Logos is in the Godhead. Oh, you didn't see that. The Logos is in the Godhead. And then when he comes out of heaven, they said, from heaven, you didn't see this part. From heaven, they used to call him the Logos of God. Heaven. He said, and his name, John was seeing the name as he was coming. They were saying, that's God's Logos. There's a mystery here. Father, I give you praise. Well, I thank you. Bless him for his word. Say now, Lord, I have seen your grace and I ask for mercy tonight. I have seen this grace. Show me your mercy to me. I have seen your mercy. I have seen your grace. I ask for your mercy tonight. I have seen your grace. I ask for your mercy tonight. I have seen your grace. I ask for your mercy tonight. I have seen your grace. I ask for your mercy tonight. I have seen your grace. I ask for your mercy tonight. I have seen your grace. I ask for your mercy tonight. I have seen your grace. I ask for your mercy tonight. I have seen your grace. I ask for your mercy tonight. Be glorified. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
He sent forth his word and healed them. Of the Logos of life. These things we have seen, we have seen and have touched. Of the Logos of life. Oh, you missed it. You didn't see all this part. Of the Logos of life. There is life in the system of the Logos. Tomorrow you will take a journey, you will never return in Christ. You will proceed onward. Whenever you tell them, I'm not around again. I left on a journey in Christ. I can't be found again. I can't be discovered. Tomorrow, you will proceed on a journey. You will never return in Christ. Father, I give you praise for what you have done tonight. The Logos, the era of the Logos, the season of the Word of God. Father, we worship you.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus, most precious name we have prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tomorrow we will see, we trust God to use His word, Logos, to create your destiny. Without Him was nothing made that was made. You didn't see it? We create it. Things we will destroy things that need to be destroyed and create the future that needs to be. Create the future that needs to be. Mrs. Joyce, the Lord bless you. I'm speaking to Joyce. I'm speaking to you in particular that the future that needs to be through creative power from the Logos, it will be recreated as us in the name of Jesus. I decree and I declare the future that needs to be. I'm talking about the future that needs to be. The future that needs to be. The future that needs to be. Through the creative power of God's word, of the word of God. Watch it being formed, being forged, and being designed and created for you. I'll be testifying. The Lord bless you. Father, I'll give you praise. Take all the glory. Trust to see you all tomorrow again. 7:30, and we have commenced the glory of God. Pandarebo Shita Rababa Shetra Legedebo Satra Madia. And I know you have a good time. Please, as many that you know should be in this meeting, they are not here. Tell them, say, hello, please, come and see. It's a place you ought to be. Come, see something. Come and carve a gathering. A fortune. Right? If you bring many here, if you bring someone here, you have done good for them, right? Father, we thank you, we give you praise. With our example, thank you for the things that you do and you have done. Blessed be your holy name. Take all the glory, Lord. Take all the honor. Thank you, Adonai. For in Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed.